Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Laurie Wyman and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee and Leslie Phillips. Of all social engagements, perhaps the one most fraught with difficulties is the invitation to dine out with friends, as able seaman Johnson and leading seaman Goldstein discover when they're invited to dine with Chief Petty Officer Pertwee.
Right then, lads. When Pertwee takes his friends out to dine, money's no object. Now then, what's it going to be? Poultry, game, meat or fish?
I don't see any poultry, game or meat.
Neither do I.
Fair enough, fish it is. Now then, what about the vegetables, then?
We don't seem to have much option, do we?
You haven't. Chips. You pay for the drinks in the pub, and Pertwee pays for the nosh after. Now, that was the agreement, was it not?
Yeah. You've had the drinks off us, but we haven't had any nosh off you.
After you, gents?
Oh, thanks very... Oh, no, you don't. If we go in first, we'll end up at the counter first, and we'll be paying first.
Which is hardly likely, because thanks to his enormous thirst, we're both skint.
Look, any more of these unwarranted aspersicles, and I shall leave you to go hungry.
Yeah, we probably will anyway, but we might as well go through the pantomime.
All right, you three, have you just come in here to get a hooter full of fried pong, or are you going to buy something?
Now then, miss. Now, miss. There's no need to be coarse. My guests and I require three portions of freshly caught, battered, bread-crumbed and deep-fried seafood, accompanied by a side order of delicately browned, sliced and diced King Edwards, served in today's paper.
Right, three cod and a tanner's worth coming up. Six bob, please.
Ah, yes. Well, of course, in most A-class restaurants, it is customary to present the bill after one's nosh has been consumed.
Is it? Well, in Charlie's Fish Bar, we not only serve cod, we want cod. C-O-D, cash on delivery. Give us six bob.
Mr. Servant Lady Person, are you prepared to state in front of these two unbiased witnesses that you are doubting my financial integrity?
Yes.
Oh.
Fascinating the way he can talk the ground to his way of thinking, isn't it, Fatso?
Stow it, Goldstein. The negotiations have just reached a delicate point.
Yeah, and so is Fatso's tum. When Fatso's tum reaches a point as delicate as this, Fatso's tum starts to rumble.
Now, you be quiet, Johnson.
All right, I will, but me tum won't. It'll rumble.
I don't want to hear about your rumbling tum.
You won't have any choice. It speaks for itself. On a clear day, you can hear Fatso's tum rumbling all over Portsmouth.
Johnson, I'm trying to have a quiet discussion with the Miss Lady Serving Person here.
If you've quite finished, give us six bob or this lot goes back in the fryer.
Is that your last word?
No, op it, and that is.
Very well. And you can inform Charlie that he'll rue the day when his inferior fish bar threw his credit to a Pertwee.
Yeah, and I'm going to walk up and down outside his bedroom window and rumble all night.
Yes, well, in replying on behalf of the guests, I'd like to thank our host for the sumptuous meal we never had.
Yeah, and that goes for my tumbling rum as well.
All right. I'm sorry, lads. I'm sorry. I did my best. You'll just have to go hungry.
We gathered that, but you didn't go thirsty, did you now?
Look, stop thinking small, Goldstein. It so happens that beer you paid for was an investment. I've got an idea that's going to put this lot right out of business. And then you'll be able to eat free fish and chips for the rest of your puff to your heart's content.
I'd rather eat to me rumbling tum's content.
Oh, shut up, porpoise posterior.
Good morning, number one. I'm sorry I'm late.
Yeah, it's all right, Mr. Phillips. They haven't even started serving breakfast yet. Where have you been?
Well, it was such a nice morning, I thought I'd go out for some exercise.
Yes, you went for a bit of a run, didn't you?
Yes, I did. How did you know? Is my pink-cheeked, healthy outdoor glow all that noticeable?
No, but arriving to breakfast wearing your uniform jacket with running shorts and plimsolls is.
Eh? Lummy. I thought there was a draft.
Ring the bell for the steward again. I can't think what's happened. I've never known breakfast so late.
Yeah, and I'm starving.
Sorry to keep you waiting, sir. We've had a bit of trouble in the pantry.
Really, steward? Well, whatever trouble you've had, I trust it hasn't arrived on my plate. What have we got? If we lift the dish covers, we'll see. Oh, nasty. What was it when it was alive?
Boiled egg and boiled rashers of bacon, sir.
Yes, we identified them, but what are these grey balloon things?
Boiled sausages, sir.
What?
Yes, sir. And leading cook's compliments, sir, and advises you to be careful how you approach them with your knife and fork. They build up quite a bit of pressure inside them skins when they're boiled, sir.
I say, do they really?
Yes, they do.
Steward, I don't like to question the galley arrangements, but why are we having an all-boiled breakfast this morning?
No option, sir. It's the same for the whole ship, sir. There's boiled sausages popping and squirting in every mess, sir.
But why?
A lot of leading cook's culinary equipment and stores got nicked overnight, sir.
Nicked? Such as what?
All his frying pans, chip baskets and the like, sir, along with all his cooking oil, salt, vinegar, bags of flour, and 1,500 weight of potatoes.
Lummy. I wonder who's had all that. Perhaps it was mice. Mr. Phillips, when did you last see a mouse with a frying pan cooking itself a potato pancake?
Oh, no, of course. he couldn't have reached the top of the stove to turn the gas on, could he?
Yes, I could have bitten my tongue out when I said it. All right, Stuart, leave it to me. I'll find out who's responsible for this.
Well, I hope you'll find him before the leading cook does, sir. He's standing in the galley with a meat cleaver in one hand and a potato masher in the other, swearing blind that when he cops the bloke what's next his gear, he'll make a wristle of him.
Don't think I'm complaining, Chief. But how much blooming longer have I got to blooming stand on the blooming end of this blooming jetty waiting for your blooming Uncle Ebenezer to blooming turn blooming up?
He's just coming alongside in his tug now. Now use your eyes, Patso, can't you?
No, I can't. Not when there's a 100-weight sack of potatoes on each shoulder and a 56-pound bag of flour on my head.
Yes. And there's a 2-ton bladder of lard carrying them. Now belt up.
What, you Johnsy boy? Got the rest of the stolen, have you?
Stolen? It's genuine borrowed, if you don't mind. This is the last load here.
Yeah, well, let's have a look. 2 sacks of spuds, yeah. 56-pound bag of flour, yeah. I shan't need the bladder of lard. I've got the cooking oil. Who are you calling a bladder of lard, you unshaven old nanny goat?
Oh, come on, shut up, the pair of you. Now, have you got everything you want?
Yep, freezer, fryer, chip chopper, spuds, batter and condiments. Me tug's ready for business whenever you are. Pardon me, but seeing as Able Seaman Johnson has been doing all the umping and dumping, could Able Seaman Johnson know what's going on?
Yeah, well, I don't see why not. The whole of Pompey will know shortly, my son.
Here you are. Have a look at one of these here posters. Sure. Opening shortly, Ebenezer Pertley's novel nautical nosh bar. Fresh frozen fish, freshly fried. Out of the frying pan, into the frigate. Straight from the sea to the sailor. From briny to bunghole, all in one day. Yeah, but I still don't quite understand what the fiddle is. Where are you going to open this fish and chip shop of yours?
We're not opening a fish and chip shop. We're opening a fish and chip ship.
Hey?
Look, you're standing on it, you dim-witted dunce-bonce. Look, we're converting Nunky's tug. Our fish and chip ship. We'll put the fish and chip shops out of business. Because instead of the Matlows leaving the doctor's shop at a fish and chip shop, they can stay aboard and them and their mates can wait with their plates for our fish and chip ship to bring the fish and chips to their ships.
Come again?
Drop dead.
No thanks, I like it here. Where's the fish coming from?
An adequate supply has been arranged by courtesy of HMS Troutbridge.
Eh? You can have us all hanging over the side with bent pins on bits of string.
No, no, certainly not. At precisely 0600 tomorrow morning, we, being duty ship, are going to be sent out to investigate a report of an unidentified submarine.
Ah. How do you know?
Because I've arranged it. The Nunky's tug is what's going to be mistaken for the unidentified submarine.
You mean he's going to pull out his plug and submerge?
No, he isn't. Well, at least, I hope not. Now, he's going to stay on the surface and collect all the fish that we leave behind.
What fish?
You'll see, my son, you'll see. I've told you more than enough already.
Left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit, it is, sir.
Honestly, I think it's jolly inconsiderate of old Povey.
What is?
Well, waking us up in the middle of the night and making us sail all the way up here.
That is one of the hazards of joining the Navy, Mr. Phillips. Occasionally you do have to go to sea. Besides, 6 o'clock in the morning is harder the middle of the night.
Well, it is to me. I don't see why we should put to sea just to see if there's something to see at sea. And when the CNC isn't even certain if we'll see at sea what we were sent to sea to see. And if we shan't see at sea what the CNC... Well, I think I've seen enough.
No, not yet you haven't. Mr. Phillips, we've been sent out here to investigate this report of an unidentified submarine. And investigate it we shall.
Quite right, so. Ours is not the reason why, sir. Ours but to do or die for the old country. So full head booth, sir. Full head booth into the valley of death, sir. Sleep on, England. Rest easy in your beds, lad. Sleep on. Pertwee is watching over you.
Cool. He's blown a fuse in his sink box.
Now, don't worry, Mr. Phillips. At the first sign of danger, he'll be under the chart table, screaming for us to hoist a white flag and yelling, "We surrender as usual."
Well, really, sir, how could you incinerate such an employment? If the call comes, we will be in the forefront of the battle without a thought. Without a thought of a risk to life and live. I shall fight any foreign foe submarine. I shall fight every foreign foe submarine. Down to our last torpedo, sir. Down to our last shell. Down to the last bullet. And if all else fails, I shall jump over the side, swim straight at him and hang me out over his periscope.
I think I'm going potty.
You stop listening to him, Mr. Phillips. Don't you recognize the signs? He's up to something again.
Who's on me, sir?
I say, who's on? Whenever we get a devoted to duty, Pertwee, it means that there's something going on that Pertwee knows about and we don't.
I'm sure I've no idea what you mean.
Oh, come now, Chief. Even that mysterious signal that got us out here was pretty dodgy.
Dodgy? How dodgy?
Very. Read it to him, Mr. Phillips.
No, certainly, sir. It says, message intercepted from unidentified craft at 0600 hours as follows. I am unidentified submarine and ought to be investigated immediately by the duty ship, which I happen to know is Troutbridge.
Nunky, the old fool. Trust him to overdo the... And what's wrong with that, sir?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. Except how many burglars do you know who break into a house and then dial 999 for the police to come and arrest them?
Well, none, sir, but it might be a very clever trick, sir.
We're absolutely sure it is, actually.
Yeah, quite. And we're also absolutely sure that there's something very fishy going on.
Yes, well, who talked? No. I mean, it all seems completely above board to me, sir.
Bridge, number one speaking.
Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading Seaman Goldstein chatting. In case you are not bothered about it, I am.
Bothered about what?
My breakfast. I haven't had it yet. I mean, how am I supposed to concentrate on gawping out at an empty ocean on an empty stomach?
Goldstein, what you're supposed to be gawping out for is an unidentified submarine.
Well, that's daft, isn't it? How am I supposed to look out for a submarine? Lean over and stick me head under the water?
It's a tempting thought. But for the time being, just let us know if you see anything breaking the surface.
Oh, I can tell you that now. There's something out here churning it up rotten and then it's straight for us at that. I'd know this old elk anywhere. It's the chief's uncle Ebenezer in his tug.
Monkey? Now, I wonder what he's doing out here.
Search me. Whatever it is, 6 to 4, he's making a profit doing it.
Goldstein.
Oh, and when you get round to it, I'll have kidneys and bacon lightly grilled, coffee, toast and marmalade, and don't forget to put my copy of the Flambeau Getley Morning Bugle on the tray.
Goldstein.
And don't let anybody half-inch the black and white colour supplement, neither.
You know, one of these days, his stop press will get stopped for good.
It's jolly odd, though.
What is?
Well, how come he got his paper delivered this morning, and I didn't get my comic?
Oh, shut up. Right, Chief. I want to know why it is your Uncle Ebenezer happened to be sailing his tug in the exact spot where there's supposed to be an unidentified submarine.
Oh, that's... yes, well, it's a pure blank coincidence. Yes, that's what it is, sir. A pure blank coincidence.
What, you Jonesy boy? You got here all right, eh?
Belt up, you blabbermouthed old baboon!
Pure blank coincidence.
What did you think of me signal, Jonesy?
Nunky! You old steaming twit buzzle! We're out here on business.
Of course we are. That's what we arranged. Don't you worry, Johnsy. I'll just tag along behind you until you give me the aye-aye. Good hunting.
I wonder what he meant by that.
I'm sure I've no idea, sir. Hadn't we better get on with our patrol, sir? I mean, now that we've got a civilian to protect.
A civilian? Nunky? You must be joking. He's never been civil since he spoke his first word. Even that probably began with a B.
Yes, it did, actually, sir. Yes. But shall we carry on with the submarine hunt, sir? I mean, I've got the anti-sub mortar crews closed up, so the moment we make contact, we can have a go. Now, let's have a lug hole full of the sonar, sir, just to make sure, eh?
Yes, do, sir. It's got such a pretty ping.
Oh, very well. As we're out here, I suppose we may as well have some practice. Yeah, all right, Pertwee, switch on the sonar control room.
Aye, aye, sir.
Cooey. Cooey sub, where are you, sub? Come to Fratso. Sub, 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 sub. Stop hiding, I know you're down there somewhere. Subby, stop playing hide and seek with Fratso.
Oi, you chubby chatterbox.
Ooh. It's talking back to me.
No, it isn't, you twit, it's me.
You chief, what are you doing under the water on the other end of my thing?
I'm not, you overstuffed clown, I'm up on the bridge. Have you had a contact yet?
No, chief, not a thing. I've been watching all the time, but there hasn't been a sign of a submarine. Please address all further inquiries to the sea boat. Good morning.
See the contact on the screen up here. It's only a shoal of fish.
Fish? Lovely, sir. Lovely, lovely. Stand by to fire them mortars, lad.
Now, hold it, Chief. Hold it. Those mortars are not to be fired unless I give the order. We're certainly not going to waste projectiles giving a lot of fish shocking headaches.
Hmm. Quite right, Mr. Phillips.
Oh, yes, but can you be sure it's a shoal of fish, sir? Can you be sure? Let's lob one over just to make sure, sir, please.
No, Pertwee, I told you. Not unless I give the order.
You're taking a terrible risk, sir. I mean, it might be a submarine.
No.
Oh. But you know the old saying, sir.
What?
Well, there's no smoke without,
fire?
Fire, that's it. Thanks very much, sir. Fire! Fire! Fire!
That's a relief. I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know how he was going to get you to order.
Lummy, look at the sky. I've heard of raining cats and dogs, but I've never seen it raining fish before.
Well done, Johnsy boy. Bullseye.
Look at Nunky. He's gone balmy. He's scooping them all up.
Yes, by the way he's working at it, that's what he's been waiting for.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. He's just sweeping up behind us, sir. You know, Nunky, sir. He's got a tidy man, sir. A place for everything and everything in its place. The place is going to be one and nine a portion and all that. Shall we be getting back, sir? I mean, no sense in hanging about here any longer, is there?
Oh, it? You've both finished whatever you were up to then.
Oh, yes, thanks for it. No, sir, no. No, merely thinking of their lordship's running costs, sir.
Cheerio, you lot. See you back at Pompey. And don't forget, John Z, frying tonight.
Jason, it's too bad. Dragging me out of my office just because of the disturbance on the dockside. Haven't I done enough for one day?
Oh, more than enough, sir. It's been all go ever since you got in this morning.
Exactly.
I mean, to my certain knowledge, you've sharpened both your pencils, drank 3 cups of coffee, which you had to stir single-handed, answered 2 telephone calls, and shouted to me to come and open your window. You also finished the crossword in my woman's magazine.
Well, not quite. I think I made a mistake somewhere.
Yes, sir. 5 down. You spelt corset with 2 T's.
Oh.
And girls haven't worn what you put for 8 across for donkey's years.
Have they? Then how do they get them to stay up? Hadn't we better turn left down here?
Very good, sir. And you wouldn't have understood if I'd told you.
Told me what?
How we get them to stay up.
What the blazes?
I think blazes could be right, sir, from the amount of smoke going up.
Smoke? Oh, good grief, I recognize it from here. That smoke is coming from Ebenezer Pertwee's targo. This way, Renchason, let's get aboard that floating ice off.
It's going to be a bit crowded, sir. Half-Troutbridge's crew are on the thing already.
Well, that's hardly a surprise, is it? Now, come along. Get me. All right. What's going on?
Oh, hello, Captain Purviser. Lovely day.
Welcome aboard, sir. I suppose. Just never mind all that. What's all this about?
It's Nunky, sir. He's locked himself in the galley with his fish, sir.
Perhaps it might help if I explain.
What? Who are you?
I'm the curator of the Gosport and Havant Natural History Museum.
Good grief. Don't tell me you want to stop Nunky.
No. I'm after his coelacanth.
After his what?
Coelacanth. You know, it's a specimen of an extinct prehistoric fish. At least we thought it was extinct until they caught one in the Indian Ocean a few years back.
Oh, yes. I remember reading about that. That's odd. There was nothing about it in my comic.
Oh, shut up. Wasn't that the one that was about 50 million years old?
Well, not the one they caught, of course, but that is the species. And amongst the catch of fish that elderly gentleman brought in today, it appears that he's got another one.
Lummy, if they caught the first one in the Indian Ocean, what was this one doing in the English Channel?
Probably swimming round the world looking for his old mate, sir.
Don't encourage him, Chief.
No, please don't. Concentrate on making that old man give up the coelacanth. It's a great scientific discovery.
Yes, leave it to me. I'll get it for you.
Now what?
Come out of there, Mr. Pertwee, and bring that fish with you.
Not likely. All my fish is legitimate salvage, including that funny-looking one. So nobody's going to take it away from me, which they couldn't if they wanted to anyhow.
And why not?
Because I've already fried it, net it.
Oh, nasty.
Nunky, you grizzly old glutton. You've just eaten a fish that was 50 million years old.
How old?
50 million years.
Yes, you vandal! You've just destroyed a unique scientific specimen!
I've just destroyed a unique Uncle Ebenezer! Here, get out of me way! Quick, send for the ambulance! I'll bet myself a mischief! Help! Is there a doctor in the crowd?
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee and Leslie Phillips have been frying up in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Heather was Heather Chasen, Uncle Ebenezer was Tenny Levins, Able Seaman Johnson was Ronnie Barker, and the curator of the museum was played by Michael Bates. The show was produced for the BBC by Alistair Scott Johnston.